Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
They're your friends.
Your very best friends.
Now we'll start.
We're gonna bitch about video games.
No, the thing that was always, it brings up a really interesting thing that people still hopefully haven't forgotten about. But like, that was what was so crazy about what Stephen Paddock did. That motherfucker could not have done that low key. Like there,
no.
That hundreds, just the rounds alone probably were like hundreds of pounds. Like there's a shit ton of ammo in there. So yeah,
like it would have definitely taken like multiple trips. I mean, you could have it all cased up pretty easy. Like,
sure.
There's plenty of, like, cases and gun cases that don't really look completely like gun cases. Like, you could get away with it, but, like that motherfucker's making multiple trips, though, for one. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way you're carrying all those weapons and all that ammunition far.
Right.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, out of your fucking mind.
For the listeners, even though I'm probably the only one who needs to have this explained to me again, but what is a FUD?
A FUD is, like, your typical like Republican like neocon heavy pro government fucking gun viewpoint. Like they're the ones.
Oh, so they like guns, but they're also like big dork neocons.
They're the ones that argue about how the AR-15 is an awesome hunting rifle. Like how dare like they focus on that.
So if I was gonna go out and buy it.
They love guns for literally all of the wrong reasons and support like it's weird. They're going to show up like support law enforcement bumper sticker and like a, you know, tucked in t-shirt to the belt on their jeans tut you about God knows what.
Jesus, I'm getting my whole fashion choices are being taken.
But no, seriously. So they're the ones that like I target when I'm talking about like you hear like AR-15s aren't a weapon of war. What are they in? And my ass is like, no, they are a weapon of war. That's the fucking point.
Oh, am I allowed to say that? Okay, good. I always thought that the correct response to the fucking libertarians don't get autistic about it is to go, no, of course they're not a weapon of war. But no, of course they are.
No, fuck you. They're a weapon of war. There's
all you gotta do is saw off one little piece and it shoots automatic. How is that?
Right. Oh, yeah, dude, that you just gotta drill that third hole, bro. But, that's the point though. Like, and I get into it with some libertarians even too, but like mostly Republicans where I actually almost did it today, but it was too early. I didn't want to go down that fucking rabbit hole of having a bunch of Trump cards.
Opened the window and just shouted out the window instead and then closed it.
You're in recovery, like, Jared. You can't be doing that to your mental health right now.
it gets to a point where it's like, these people, they focus on all the wrong fucking arguments for why we have rights. And it's like, that's why the left is fucking winning this shit. Because you assholes are trying to defend it. It's not a weapon of war. Like, how can you as a person who's into firearms think that there's any real difference between the M4 I carried in Afghanistan and the AR-15 with a 16-inch barrel that you can go buy from fucking Bass Pro Shop? Like,
no, nice.
Those rifles are 95% the fucking same. Like, everything about them. Every single fucking thing. You can go out to get the same optic. You can go. I know Marines who gotten out and just recreated the rifle they had in Afghanistan.
Well, that's
easy.
What's gonna
they went out and bought it.
Right? Like that's what's gonna end up happening. That's kind of the. It's not even. I don't even know if people are planning this, but that's just what's gonna happen. They ban the AR-15, and then they have an excuse to ban anything that looks like the AR-15. I mean, this is part of the plan. It's just not.
It's Monica. Yeah, Monica Perez says it best when she says it's resistance grade weaponry. It's a weapon system. It's the last weapon system available to the civilian populace that actually puts you toe to toe with a modern soldier.
Yeah,
I can already hear the people going, "Yeah, but they have tanks." Oh God! I can hear it already. What is the argument?
The drones trigger me way more because at least the tank actually has firepower. Like a tank legitimately does have firepower. Like if you're like, you know,
it takes it like how many men to operate a tank? Three?
Oh, an M1A2. I think it's four or five.
So you need a whole lot of, you need to commit a large number of very important people, because I'm sure operating a tank is not like some shit you can do on day one.
Oh, dude, I think Typo brought it up on our show because he was he got attached to an intel unit, a part of tank division,
yeah,
or tank battalion,
yeah.
And so he told us, like, for every hour of operation for like a tank, an M1A2.
Oh, tremendous amount of fuel.
Requires 8 hours of maintenance.
Jesus Christ.
And then like, dude, they're powered by a fucking jet. Their engine is a jet turbine. Like, it's a they had to make that tank, they had to limit that tank speed because the actual thrust of that engine could actually make it roll right off its own fucking tracks if they let it.
Dukes of Hazzard, that shit.
Yeah, so that's great because you can have this fucking massive heavy vehicle that's still fast as shit. Like, that thing can go like 50 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And it has an auto-stabilizing turret that fucking, you can lock that bitch onto a target, roll at 50, and fire accurate fucking shells like a mile out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But it gets like half a mile to the fucking gallon.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. You want to, hey, Jared, not to like totally interrupt, but this is nuts. I as we speak, I'm searching news, and I figured I would search Boogaloo because like you're here. I'm reading an article right now that is making me a little bit concerned. I mean, they've done this before, but hey, if I'll throw this article at you, maybe we can get into it. This is a topic. Jesus Christ, dude, I hate this shit. Let me send it to you in the DMs. So what is the Boogaloo? How online calls for a violent uprising are hitting the mainstream. All right, so there's that, right? I'm sure we're going to get in a whole lot of bullshit, and I already saw a whole lot of bullshit.
Did you send it in the
Twitter.
The Hangouts chat? Twitter. Or Twitter? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm retarded. You got to be slow with me.
This is nuts. Dude, this makes me upset, man, because we started this. I know the man who started the term Boogaloo. Seriously, I know Skip. I know Skip.
Who started the term Boogaloo?
Skip did. As far as I know, really? Skip did. I don't even know where Skip is right now. Yeah, God bless him.
He's the first one that I fucking saw using it, and I was like, oh, that's dope, and I just hooked, line, sinker.
It pisses me off, like, man, because, like, yeah, I mean, by all accounts, and I'm sure Skip wouldn't even fucking be like, that's not true. By all accounts, Skip's a bit of a wild man. He's a little bit nuts. Yeah. I love him. I can't wait to the time when I get to go down to his fucking... He was like, come down to the ranch, we'll shoot together. I'd be like, all right, sure.
Yeah, he lives close to me, too.
Does he? Oh, he's in Arizona. See what I mean? Yeah. I gotta move down to Arizona, dude. Apparently, it's where all the right-wing nut jobs are, if you read this article.
Arizona's where all the fucking crazies are, man.
Yeah, man. That's great. Yeah, that dude's awesome, and I've always had good interactions with him. And I know he created this term, and if he didn't, he took it from somebody who was not a white supremacist, because he fucking used it, and he's not a white supremacist. So, this is bad. All right, so, opening line, I don't know if you found it, but it's in the Twitter. Okay. Opening lines is...
What is the Boogaloo?
Yeah, what is the Boogaloo? How online calls for violent uprising are hitting the mainstream. It is by NBC News. It was released an hour ago from the time of recording. It is February 19th, 2020, 10:10 a.m. Eastern Time, if you want to find it exactly. An anti-government movement that advocates for a violent uprising targeting liberal political opponents and law enforcement has moved from the fringes of the internet into the mainstream in recent months and surged on social media, according to a group of researchers that tracks hate groups. Now, two things. That's not you guys, so whatever they're seeing is not you guys. So there's a problem. Who's using this term that's not you guys? Did the Nazis get this? Who's using this? Who's also saying, let's go out there and shoot cops and... And you know what I mean? And liberal,
dude,
political.
Like, you listen to for off the top of my head, like the other podcasts that really talk about this is like our podcast, Biting the Bullet, Pat's podcast on Spencer Tactical. He's talked about. He was on NPR.
Look at this picture. Look at this fucking picture by Chip Samodvila. Yeah. It's a fucking Boogaloo Boys patch. Who made a Boogaloo Boys patch? You guys came up with Boogaloo Boys. Who made that? That's crazy.
Oh, dude, I thought there was somebody at the AV Gun Rally handing those out. Yeah, those are dope.
That's just nuts, though, that that's like, I know the people who made this. And it's like, I can look at this article and 95% of it is complete and utter horseshit. It's crazy. The only thing like correct was that they said like, we were anti-government.
Like, you remember the Virginia rally and they literally took a video of like Trigy and his boys.
Trigy was there and they called him a white supremacist. They called him a fucking white nationalist. Trigy. I've had Trigy on the fucking show. I've had I messaged Trigy. We've texted. It's crazy. I don't understand it, man. It really fucks with me. What fucks with me is not even this specific thing, but it's like, okay, so like I have personal connection with these people. Like I know not one of these people has ever expressed an opinion about white supremacy, white nationalism, nothing. Not one of them. And the only time you guys ever talk about targeting liberal political opponents and law enforcement, which is the first paragraph, the only time you ever do that is always under the stipulation, hey, if they come try and take my guns, which is always like, hey, they're coming to me. I'm not.
That's
going...
the point of the Boogaloo. Is like, if you guys are going to kick it off, we'll go. But I mean, that's my always been my understanding.
The point of it being like, I know this is true. I watched the inception of the Boogaloo happen. What else in the news? How are they getting everything else wrong in the news? If they're getting this wrong, this one thing that I can testify in court that you guys have never done any of the shit that happened in this fucking article. It's crazy. I don't get it.
Yeah, dude. It's dude. They're already trying to frame the narrative, man. It's what the government does.
It's gotta be.
They're trying to get it and trying to frame.
You're being watched.
Because
you know you're being watched.
Say Virginia does pop off.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
Like, how do you think they're gonna try to get the military? How they're gonna get the police on their side? Immediately, these are fucking like super ethno state fucking terrorists and everything like that. And they've already started that little like seed planting process.
Right.
Because. Yeah. At the end of the day, they still need to convince a bunch of dudes with guns to go and get into a gunfight with a bunch of other dudes with guns in this, you know, hypothetical situation.
Right.
That takes propaganda. You need to get that narrative already rolling. So you can't just come out the, you know, gate with it. People aren't that dumb.
I have half a mind to message this woman, Brandy Zadrodsny. That's the woman who wrote this article. She doesn't have a huge amount of followers. She just posted it on Twitter. I'm going to message her and be like, hi, so we were there when the Boogaloo started. Would you like to come on the show and talk about your opinions on it? Yeah, man.
It's called the Friends Against Government podcast. We're
it's
very
sick,
lighthearted,
dude.
Here.
Brooklyn, too. Of course. Oh, of course. Brooklyn and followed by Nick Gillespie. Great.
Oh, God.
Wonderful. Wonderful fucking shit, dude. I mean, honestly, he probably follows her just to keep up with NBC's news. That's fine. Whatever. Yeah. But like, my God, Brandy Zadrodsny. What the hell? Seriously?
But yeah. And like from what I was going for before is like most of our circles talk about the Boogaloo. What's usually the first sentence that comes out of your mouth? We don't want this to happen.
No.
Yeah.
Like this isn't something that we're trying to create. This isn't something we want. Like I've said it before on our show. It's like I've been shot at before. That shit sucks. I don't want it to happen again. I want to grow my peppers and go fix toilets. Like that's where I'm at in my life. Like I don't running around in like heavy shit and getting shot at again. That sounds like something stupid 20-year-old me was fucking into, not like almost pushing 30-year-old me. Like I ain't about that life.
Right. So here's another interesting point. This is another thing I know just from the inception of it. The current Boogaloo movement was first noticed by extremist researchers in 2019 when fringe groups from guns rights and militia movements to white supremacists.
Fringe I like how groups, militias are always in the same list as white supremacists.
Well,
like I noticed.
Well, I don't know any militias, so I don't even know how much that floats. But what kills me is when fringe groups from gun rights and militia, so gun rights movements are a fringe group, which is amazing, to white supremacists began referring to an impending civil war using the term Boogaloo, a joke in reference to Breakin' 2, Electric Boogaloo, the 1984 sequel movie about breakdancing. Now, here's the thing. If Skip came up with it, that's not why at all. I asked him, and he said, I didn't know that. So, just again, this is just little pieces of, quote, research that I just know are not accurate. They're just somebody going, Boogaloo. Okay, it must be from, you know, that movie that people joke about a lot because it has a funny name. It's funny, man. I don't know. I see a lot of this silly shit.
I mean, these are the same people that think drones win wars, dude. Like, it doesn't surprise me.
Sure. Sure. I just hate being, like associated with white supremacy because I'm like vaguely on the left.
I actually have, a very particular abhorrence of fucking racism. Like, like, I grew up in the.
We're from New York. That shit doesn't fly in New York.
Upstate New York sticks, bro. Like, I grew up with one black kid and he was whiter than the white kids. Like, that dude, like, he wasn't. Like, deer season came in, he wasn't in school. Like, that was that kid.
Nice.
He was out killing shit. But one of my best friends, he joined the Marine Corps too. But he fucking, like so, you know, particular parts of my family are very racist. So I grew up with it. I got into the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps is just a fucking melting pot. The only thing you all have in common is like you're all poor and you come from dysfunctional families. Mm. Like, y'all just fucking bond real quick. You make fun of the kid that actually grew up with his parents. You're like, fucking loser. But like, you all bond over that shit, and it just, like, you know that it just painted a thing in my mind where I'm like, you know, that shit does exist, and it pisses me. It honestly irritates the fuck out of me. It's something I kind of keep closed down a little bit, like, because I just hate talking about that type of shit. Like,
I do too.
Fucking, it's the same thing. You look through my Twitter and find any time I've ever talked about abortion or race. Like, yeah. I have my personal beliefs, and I fucking keep away from that shit with a 10-foot fucking pole. Like, I'm fucked that. Like,
it's so weird, dude. This fucking mixing of information. It's so strange. I don't know, man. This fucking article blows my mind. Boogaloo
dude, it's straight propaganda.
Have used social media to, quote, strategize, share instructions for explosives and 3D printed firearms, distribute illegal firearm modifications, and siphon users into messaging boards en masse. Encrypted messaging boards en masse. Now, man, this is so coastal. The only one of those that freaks me out is instructions for explosives. That's it. That's the only one that's like, first of all, I don't know anybody who's passing around instructions for explosives, but I do know people who are sharing 3D printed firearms. I do know people who are distributing illegal firearm modifications, and I do know people who are using encrypted messaging boards. So, like, do they think that we're Nazis because of that? Like, do they think that we're Nazis? Do they not know what cypherpunk is? Like, this is old news, right? Like, this is old shit. This is shit that, like, they made the fucking Matrix based on this culture. I don't get it. I don't know, man. It's a good hint to tell you, like, what they're truly afraid of. What they're truly afraid of. It's not just the little hint is at the end of the quote. It's not just the strategizing, sharing instructions for explosives and 3D firearms, distributing firearm modifications. They're also afraid of siphoning users into encrypted messaging boards. That's such an interesting little tidbit from this individual.
We can't go anywhere, dude.
They don't want us to.
Like,
they really. Go ahead, Jared. Go ahead.
You ever, like, sit around when we talk about this kind of stuff and just go, like, am I on a watch list? Like, I'm pretty sure I'm on a watch list.
You are. You are. If, listen, no. I'm dead fucking serious. Somebody has watched us because of some of the information in here. It's just clearly, we have been watched. We're not a small podcast. You guys are not a small podcast. We're not huge, but they're talking about the Boogaloo. That stemmed from a guy who I could go to his house. Like, I know him. Like, I like that guy. We could have dinner together. Like, we're definite.
Dude,
we're,
I bet he cooks a mean fucking steak.
That dude, can do some fucking grilling. You know it. So, yeah, dude.
He gives that energy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, are you on Keybase, Jared?
No, I'm not. I've been getting yelled at. Dude, I'm a technological idiot.
Really. Okay, we don't fit into this Boogaloo shit. Oh, man. We do not fit into this, like, Boogaloo shit.
No, dude. Honestly, like, to speak on that, like, because I will just keep hammering that one point. Like, most of the people that talk about the Boogaloo, they mostly view it as just as an inevitable thing. Like, a lot of us, I mean, that's where I'm at, like, where it's more like the be prepared nature, because it's more or less like, this shit's getting really fucking weird, really fucking quick, and that's not a good sign for, like, end of empires throughout history. So, like, and y'all are fucking some crazy assholes. We're just gonna, like, flip the fuck out. So, like, I'm going to have things that either A, will collect dust and I can have fun with, or B, worst case scenario, protect myself with on right. like a good level.
I mean, the way that I see, I think, and particularly a lot of Bitcoiners see it, is like, we are going to remove money from the state. We are going to separate state and money, and they're probably going to react violently in some capacity yeah. as we do that. It's probably best to defend yourself.
Yes.
That's it. No, that's the sum total of it for me, is that we during this process of removing state and money, or removing money from the state's control, they may react violently because we're going to be taking a tremendous amount of power, and so arm up.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and you can see like a lot of these fucking, like a lot of these assholes that go on like, oh, the government will just squash you. Not if there's numbers of you, man. Like that, the Bundy Ranch thing.
Also, like they wouldn't because they would give up.
Such a statement.
They would just give up.
Yeah.
They would just give fucking up. They would just go, oh, look what they fucking did in Virginia. They pulled the bill back. They said, okay, they ain't ready for this. That, of course.
No, yeah, they're postponing it because they're going to try to ease it through because they already know. Like, yeah. Like, the government...
Keep postponing it. Keep postponing it because then the fucking 3D printers will get down to $60 per. That's great.
Right, exactly. That's, keep postponing that's the entire, it. That is the point. Like, everybody that thinks... like
they're going to do it. They're going to do it.
That is the cool part about the cypherpunk movement is that... Delay usually meant that encroaching state power won. Delay now means that we win.
Right.
Like that, like just give us another day, give us another week, give us another month, give us another year, and more power we can pull.
Yeah, it's inevitable. I would put money on the idea that they'll begin banning guns, and eventually we'll get to the point in this country before the collapse that most guns will be banned. You'll probably be able to keep hunting and some pistols.
Yeah, legislatively. Yeah,
yeah, legislatively.
Perhaps.
Oh,
they ain't going anywhere because.
Yeah, where are they going?
If the government, like I've told you guys before, and I've told a couple other guys, like, yeah, New York passed the SAFE Act. They didn't enforce that shit upstate, though.
Nah.
Like,
there are so many cities and counties and things like that where the sheriff, as much as we don't like sheriffs, sheriff is more or less.
I was
going to
say,
they just would not enforce.
I think the sheriff is, oh God. Whew. See, now this is where they're going to link me to white supremacists, because this is some shit white nationalists say. But like, I'm pretty sure that like constitutionally, the sheriff is the highest authority figure that you can have is the sheriff. Anything higher than that, I don't even believe it's any form of legitimate organization. You have a sheriff. The whole town votes. That's the guy who enforces the laws. He does something stupid, he loses his job. It's a relationship thing. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. We'll keep it that
way. He ignores the vote.
The sheriffs are not coming to fucking confiscate guns. Not in New York, not anywhere. Not one sheriff would ever do something like that. So the vast majority of guns ain't fucking going anywhere. Now, the ones that get printed, motherfucker, I might or might not know several people in this state and perhaps in this city who print guns. It's everywhere. It's fucking everywhere.
Yeah. That's the thing, is like in... the state really does show signs that they know what's going to happen if they do. Like, they don't go in fucking guns blazing. They don't go in fucking hard against that shit. Like, they like, the government does this. Like, I tell people all the time, I'm like, you're literally arguing against what the government already found itself. Like, the government already does projections. They do war games on Civil War scenarios. It doesn't ever really turn out that good for them.
Really?
Like, no, it doesn't. It's fucking impossible. I imagine it doesn't.
There's parts of this country that are untakeable. There's no way to. I mean, even like New York City. How are you going to take New York City? How is a military going to take New York City? The police.
The only thing you can do to that city is just surround it and starve it out like a fucking medieval castle siege.
Which, by the way,
humans are worse than fucking rats in that scenario. So most of that population will survive just utter bleak starvation.
Oh, New Yorkers?
They'll figure it
out. Oh, New Yorkers? Oh, nope. Not. See, people from the South, and God bless all of you, that for some reason they call people from the New York City Yankees. And sure, there are a lot of Yankees here. Most of us are rats, dude. We'll survive a lot longer than you think.
Yeah, rats. Yeah. No, human beings in general, man. Human beings, like, you get somebody that's a human being that's truly like fucking truly scared and truly fucking like starving, and like that's all them instincts taking over at that fucking point.
You literally have
the same thing. It's the same thing you struggle with in fucking combat.
Yeah.
Is like, your body's going so fucking hardwired that your actual, like, basically what makes you fucking human that sets you apart from an animal, that starts to dim a little bit. And the fucking part of you that's just like, you know, the party that wakes up and you're just like, I really want to fuck, like that kind of just like that side of you, that starts to get a lot more pronounced.
Yeah.
It's a fucking you. So that starts happening. I mean, that's what I'm saying, dude. That's why, like, most people that, including myself, that look at the Boogaloo, it's just like, I know that's going to happen. And I know how people get like that. I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. It's fucking terrible. Mm. I'm going to have an AK. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Here's why I know you're being watched, Jared. The end of this article. I'm going to read. It's two paragraphs and then an ending sentence, but the ending sentence isn't relevant. NCRI was able to track the origin of the use of the term Boogaloo to 4chan's political-focused message board, where racist and hateful memes often get their start. That's not where it started, but great. Yeah, just put it on a poll, like everybody always does. Like every fucking journalist who doesn't do research says it comes from poll. Great. Boogaloo was often associated with apocalyptic and racist terms like race war and day of the trope. DOTR. White power fantasy that imagines a time when race traders will be murdered. Yeah, that's something I hear a lot of Boogaloo people talking about all the time, is murdering race traders, because that's, yeah, okay.
Oh,
anyway, here's the kicker. This is how you know you're being watched. The report tracked events when an online chatter about an impending Boogaloo spiked. The analysis found a peak during a November standoff in upstate New York between an Army veteran and police over a domestic dispute. The veteran Alex Booth chronicled a standoff on his pro-gun Instagram account, Whiskey Warrior 556, claiming to followers that his guns were being confiscated. The incident made the Boogaloo meme go viral and gained Booth over 100,000 followers. That was it. There's a little sentence. The second Boogaloo meme appeared to peak during Trump's impeachment. Blah 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 blah. Sure, great.
Dude, I'm a vet, man. I already know I'm on a fucking list. Like,
yeah.
Like, we did a whole episode about it. You have things like Operation Vigilant Eagle. You have, like, I'm a recorded combat vet with fucking recorded diagnosed PTSD, and I've 100% bought a gun where I had to get a background check at a store, so I'm armed. Like, I'm on multiple lists, motherfucker. Like, yeah. I say it all the time. Like, it wouldn't take much to, like, murder me. Like, all you have to do is just call the cops and say, hey, there's a fucking combat vet that lives in this house and he's armed and he threatened me. And there'll be like a 40-man SWAT team outside my fucking house stacked up with like breaching charges on my fucking door.
Let him take you, dude. My dog is dead.
Let
him fucking just take you, dude. It's not worth dying over, really. It's not
like, but that's a fact of fucking life. Like, for most, and a lot of vets know it. That's why you don't see a lot of us out really that outspoken about it. I mean, I don't care. I just fucking do it. It needs to be said, so. But yeah,
one more quote. There's dudes
that are way more paranoid than me.
Yeah, one more quote. This one's good. Much like the OK hand symbol co-opted by white nationalists who later denied the association, the ambiguity of the term Boogaloo works to cloak extremist organizations in the open. Now, hey, the second part of that is a thing that extremist organizations actually do. I just haven't seen that with the Boogaloo, and also. The fucking OK hand... Don't we already know that the OK hand symbol was not co-opted? It was forced on white... It was technically forced on white nationalists by 4chan. They literally said, we're going to take this thing and associate it with white supremacists. The actual white supremacists didn't have anything to do with it. I guess they just took it.
it's the same concept as, remember in... Oprah Winfrey talked about fucking rainbow parties years back. Oh. And then fucking like all the parents were like, oh my God, our kids are doing this. And everybody, like, I was a teenager at the time. We were like, what the fuck is a rainbow party?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people were like, oh, this seems cool. Dude, let's get some bitches drunk.
That's what we did. We were literally like, oh, a rainbow party. All right, let's go to the makeup store. Let's get a bunch of different colored lipsticks.
Let's get fucking weird. This sounds fun. Like, the media literally just told you some shit.
Dude, and
like
the boys were like, oh, we could get girls to do this, and the girls were like, oh, other girls are doing this? Dude, the fucking media got us all laid.
Was I just a little bit too old for this?
Yeah, you maybe. Probably were. It's a little. It's also a little too vulgar. Hey, it's a little. It's pretty vulgar. Let's be honest, because it is talking about like teenagers. This was a thing teenagers were doing.
Yeah.
well,
okay.
We're doing.
Basically, it was Oprah said that there was this really hypersexual thing going on between teenagers, like a specific act.
Oh, that wasn't happening, like, and then everybody...
That 100%, and, like, every teenager at the time, like, I walked into high school, and somebody was like, dude, have you ever heard of a rainbow party? I was, like, 15 or 16, and I was like, what the fuck is that? He's like, I don't know, man, but we're Googling it. Apparently, it's a thing. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Car, it involves, I think you probably put together what it is, it involves multiple people and multiple different colored lipsticks. You can probably figure out where the rainbow is made.
Oh, okay.
But it was just a random thing. But then her saying that and then all the parents freaking out about it made it a thing.
Yes. Yes.
Made it a thing.
If you want to take the scarlet thread, maybe that was her point.
Yeah.
Maybe Oprah
Winfrey. She wants this term to be used. She wants the fucking KKK fucking... to go out tomorrow on, like, David Duke to come out and be like, yeah, Boogaloo!
Rainbow parties, baby! Rainbow parties!
Yeah. Literally, that's what they want, though. They do that shit, because that's the... They dude, act like they'd have to be complete... They're either complete retards, or they 100% know the effects of the type of shit they do.
Now, let me ask you a question, because we just talked about cypherpunk, and there's, like, something... Maybe, I don't know, if I feel like this is more, like, the logically consistent way to go about this, but let me get your opinion on it. If white supremacists do indeed... start taking that term Boogaloo and using it. Are you hopping off of it or are you staying?
Dude, I'm already on Burlington Coat Factory holiday after party.
See, that is that, but we need to be serious about that because that's
need to be nimble.
That's the cypherpunk way. You don't fucking stick to shit. You move when you need to. I've had to go through I've had to go
fire
through,
and then move, right?
Yeah, I've had to go through several different fucking trackers.
You
several...
listen to my Twitter.
There you go. Yeah, that's the way, right? You can't stick to shit. Which is like, Carr, you gotta drop that libertarian label, bro. We gotta be, we gotta find a new.
Oh, no, never.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one hill.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I rest.
Oh, but what if white supremacists start taking it? Are you gonna keep calling yourself it, or are you gonna have to change it? If some really awful group starts taking that term, will you have to change it, or will you be like, I was here first?
No, yeah, I think this is my rock, man. This
Wow. You know, dude, that's not the fight I would try and win, but I really respect that. I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's my hill to die on, man.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
everybody
all
has
one.
Everybody has one.
Can I give? Can I just explain why I stick to the libertarian
level? Yeah, please actually do that. Yes.
Yeah. So.
Because I do the same thing.
Is it like a Bastiat thing, or is it like something? Is it like something less ideological than like Bastiat?
No, it's pretty ideological.
Okay, let me hear.
So my definition of libertarianism, as I understand it, it is the political philosophy of self-ownership. And that's just what I believe. Everything else is derived from that.
So what is and anarchism is sort of the way that you go about keeping your self-ownership?
Well, it's a de facto state of expressed self-ownership. It's not like anarchism to me.
So anarchism
really
is not a political philosophy. I agree with you.
State.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
So and so why I avoid anarchism is because it's such a broad thing. You know, that you look across people that label themselves anarchists and it's crazy. There are people that call themselves anarchists and many believe that they're the true anarchists. They don't even believe in private property. And you're like, that's certainly not me.
Right.
And so the other thing that I feel like avoiding is, you know, saying that I'm an anarcho-capitalist, which I still would say just for simplicity's sake that I'm
you
an
used
ancap,
to say that more.
But I don't believe that the economic system is necessarily I think that by and large, pragmatically, it will result in more or less a capitalist means of organization for production. But if I stick to libertarian, I don't have to dictate that. You can do whatever you want. You can set up a co-op. You can do whatever.
You can do a lot.
And so that's why I think that libertarian is in many ways the most pure and simple and accurate term.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you
I've always viewed it kind of through the lens of like, I mean, my standards are so fucking low. It's more or less like if you believe the individual is held up over the fucking state, like, then property means a thing. Like usually that tends towards the more classical liberal down to towards the anarchist side.
You interested
right, I guess property rights anarchist is probably like the most precise and accurate way, but yeah. Libertarian, I think, actually leads to that.
Yeah. What's interesting is like you and it's funny because I actually when we talked about Nick Gillespie before, but like a really interesting thing and Nick Gillespie said was that he doesn't even think libertarianism is a political philosophy. It's just a direction. It's just like a direction you move towards, which I heard that. I was like, okay, I could dig that.
I don't agree with that.
No. Though I'll give you a link to how he explains it. I actually think you probably would. He goes about explaining how libertarianism really like is just anti-authoritarianism. It's not really a political philosophy in and of itself. It is the opposition to authority. It was a good quote. Anyway, you do stand on the opposite side of that initially.
I'll absolutely read it. But I think that at some point through, technological advancement, we won't even call it libertarianism. So like it'll just be the way things are.
Yeah.
So I think that.
Well, that's kind of why I moved away from economics in general, because they're so temporary. They change constantly. It's constantly changing. The systems of organization are constantly changing. Yeah. And with the way that automation and innovation is going, it's going to change you a lot more. The political philosophy, I think, is probably paramount to the economics. The economics is like a cultural thing that'll figure itself out, but the politics has to help the culture survive. I'm with you there. I keep libertarian, man. It's a good term. I'm cycling away from even calling myself anarchist at this point. Every time I try and label myself, somebody goes, oh, so you believe, it's like, no, I don't. And I never do.
That's why because I can never, if somebody says, oh, you believe this or this. No, yeah. I believe in the political philosophy of self-ownership. Yeah. That's what I believe. Yeah. Everything else is derivative of that.
Yeah. Free market anarchist is the closest thing that I've come to because it is not capitalism, but it's also not socialism. It's just free market.
That's also derivative of everybody owning themselves and their property.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So everything I see is downstream of that. Anarchism is downstream of libertarianism in some ways. It's a de facto state of ownership, of private ownership, of not having a state own things.
Why don't we do episodes on these things anymore? We should need to do a real episode on that. That's a good one.
Dude, I love it. No, man, you got to keep it sprinkled. Your guys, I love it because it'll be like hilarious nonsense, hilarious nonsense, hilarious nonsense. Bam, 30-minute fucking dive where we realize that you guys are intelligent. It's fucking a beautiful concept. No.
You like black out. It's like an old school where Will Ferrell just like blacks out. He's like, what just happened?
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, dude. Like, it keeps it nice. Because you guys are both very intelligent individuals. So
thank you.
Nice. But you're very funny and we need more hilarity than fucking, dude, there's too many like doom and gloom type fucking podcasts. It's just
I get my fair share of doom and gloom.
Yeah. It's good in small doses, but I already hate things enough as it is. I don't need to be constantly reminded.
Uh-huh.
So yeah.
We're on the topic, Carr. Did you ever read Capital? You never did, right? You didn't go into Marx, did you?
Capital? No. Yeah. I read half three quarters of the Communist Manifesto.
Oh, I see, the Communist Manifesto is kind of like, it's like an advertisement. It's not even, you know what I mean? It's not even really like, there's not much thought going into that one.
No. Yeah.
Capital is brutal.
It's not even that I disagree with, well, I do, but it's just the writing is so fucking poor. Yeah, like, it's so bad.
So, yeah. So I cracked a little bit.
That's why I can't handle Proudhon as well. It's because there will be like a four-page sentence with like 19,000 commas, and I'm like,
oh my god, I'm actually shocked. I just thought you never would have read Proudhon. I didn't even think you would. Okay.
No, I've read What Is Property.
Yeah, What Is Property is actually probably one of his better, one of the better. Oh yeah,
I know. And it
legible.
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, one of the better and more legible.
Like, I don't understand how that guy is elevated to like such a prestigious level.
I honestly love Proudhon, but I only really love him because, like, you know, Benjamin Tucker gets a lot of his ideas from Proudhon, and Benjamin Tucker's like the boy.
I like Ben Tucker. Yeah.
Yeah. Any American who's like talking about
Tucker
anarchism
can actually write.
Huh?
I said also Benjamin Tucker can actually write.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can. That's true.
Proudhon just.
Well, yeah, it's also translated. To be fair,
it's like 200-page book, and it's comprised of four sentences.
Actually, not only is Proudhon's translated, but like I think Tucker was the one who translated the original version.
Is that right?
Yeah. Of What Is Property, I believe Benjamin Tucker was the person who originally translated that. So maybe that's partially why the original translation is not great, because I don't think Benjamin Tucker probably didn't speak a great amount of French. But
right.
Also, yeah, like, I don't think that that book received another translation until, like, the 70s, probably, like, another English translate. It's hard to get French philosophers translated into English for whatever reason. There's, like, a whole school of thought there that, like, we haven't been able to tap into because I don't fucking speak French. But anyway, Capital, the thing that's been, like, interesting me, Carter, I would definitely describe you as a capitalist in as many senses as I possibly could. And I wonder, like, because you just sort of low-key brought up the idea. You know, Marx is kind of the one who, first of all, he's the one who comes up with the term capitalist. But second of all, he's the one who comes up with the idea that capitalism is a very temporary thing. And, like, do you agree with that? Do you believe that? Do you think serfdom was fundamentally different from capitalism? And do you think capitalism is here to stay, as in it's the final economic system?
God, I don't know, man.
Tough question for the fag cast.
Like, I don't even really know. Like, capitalism is such a, I don't know what it is.
You have to pick who defines it first.
Ask 100 well-educated people on this subject, and they'll come up with a different term or a different.
So then I'll put it this way. Does the economic system that currently exists today, do you think it will exist 100, 200, 300? Do you think it will exist in perpetuity? This form of exchange?
Are you talking about, like, our current economic model,
like corporatism?
No. Well, see, that's, yeah, I guess you'd have to get into the difference between the two of those things, first of all, but I'm with you there. There is a free market capitalism. I believe that. Capitalism, the form of exchange that currently exists, not the U.S.'s current iteration of it. There's many, many capitalist countries, and they all do it slightly differently.
If you're talking about free market exchange,
not free market, just the capital. Well, let me ask you this, Carr. Do you think you can separate free market from capitalism?
The honest answer is I don't care. This is why I stick with libertarian, because I don't, I do not care about the term capitalism. I'm so,
it's not the term. It's, yeah, I guess we'd had to, cause what I'm the idea of private ownership and the exchange of not personal, but straight up private. You can leave the property and it's yours in perpetuity. You can possess means of production on your own with nobody else to say, and you never lose ownership of it for any reason until you die. Do you think that system remains in perpetuity? That's the most base level, I guess, of that system of exchanges that I can think of, is it involves private property ownership. Exclusive.
Yeah, I don't see necessarily why it wouldn't.
Do you think it has always existed?
That
I guess, and for all functional purposes, like in civilization, like, can you see a way that it wouldn't work? Like, can you see a way that people would evolve from it? What would it take to break that system? Would it post-capitalism, like some sort of, we can so rapidly produce goods and services that it just, things are almost cost-free and expensive? I mean, like,
there are still going to be scarce resources.
Oh, always.
And that could be as simple as land.
Right. I mean, there is a point in, see, this is the one thing I'm not convinced of, and maybe you could convince me of it, but there is a point, assuming we reach getting off of this planet, I don't see why that's a limitation anymore. Land.
Yeah,
not.
I mean, that's
no matter what, you'll still have to develop in order to gather those resources. So somebody will have to acquire those resources as property, develop those resources, manufacture those resources.
You may not have to. I mean, it's we may go back to homesteading. Like, we may go back to a form of homesteading.
Here's probably the grand summation of this.
Yes,
is that private property is a means of determining permissible users of scarce resources.
I agree.
So,
but it's
so
one
when a
means.
Resource ceases to be scarce, it ceases to be determined under property rights. So, like, yeah, I mean, if there's unlimited jet fuel, if there's and it's as simple to get as
do we
air,
have to talk about unlimited though? Do we have to talk about unlimited? Because it doesn't have to.
No,
be
no. There's not unlimited air on Earth, but it's not scarce.
Yes, yeah. Functionally, unlimited.
It's functionally unlimited for us.
And I don't see why iron ore is also functionally unlimited. It's just not on this planet. You know what I mean? I mean, this is like, listen, this is all very future shit, I know.
Sure,
but this is like, we have to talk about this.
The dive we've taken for the last 20 minutes is the most beautiful thing I've done in a while.
To your point, Bird, at the moment that a particular resource ceases to be scarce, whatever that definition is.
Yes.
It then exits the realm of property rights.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know. Okay. That's very interesting. Yeah, that's, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what ends up happening is some shit will become so abundant because the universe is, there are more stars in the universe than there will ever be humans that populate the universe. Unless we manage to get off the planet and really start populating as many planets as we can, which would be super dope. But until then, like their resources are fucking everywhere. We're fine. We're totally okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the Star Trek dream, at least. That was the Star Trek.
We could reach that post scarcity. I mean, I get in some theoretical realm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even think it's that theoretical, but I also don't like the term post scarcity as much as I do post capitalism, because it's true. There's no such thing as post scarcity. But the idea that you would need to hold something privately because if you didn't, you would be, what would be a good word for it? You would be kept out of being able to use it. Would not happen.
Yeah.
That's ultimately, like you said, that's why property rights exist, is so that the people who are responsible for the creation of the good have the first and best use for it. Now, that sounds like something else, but honestly, it's a decent principle that I follow. If you create the fucking thing, I mean, that's Locke. Create it, you keep it. That's yours. You put work into it, it's yours. We can go from Locke.
As long as it was previously unowned. Yeah.
Which will not be a problem in space. I mean, unless we got to take shit from the aliens, which I don't give a fuck about what the aliens have. Are you team human?
Needs. Humanity needs a good space invasion. That would be the thing. That's so much different. That's not like, oh, that person has different color skin or praise a different sky being. That's like, those are different.
I agree.
We'll fight those.
I agree. Yeah, I'm team human. See, this is the annoying thing. Well, here's the problem, is the robots are going to kill us long before aliens show up. So whatever, you know how it is. Really, that's probably true. We will probably end up exterminating ourselves with robots, and then they'll carry on our mission, and they won't believe in capitalism because they're robots.
Do you know in most of space movies with aliens and shit, there's always that really aggressive, really warlike fucking species that's kind of the bad guy, and everybody's like, oh shit. You ever think if that's us?
Yes.
Other aliens are coming by us, and they're looking at us terrified as fuck at the thought of us entering into space.
Well, here's the thing, Jared.
We're these giant fucking primates that fucking just consume and fucking fight.
Jared,
everything.
We do that. Jared, we do that now.
They drink poison and get all fucked up and
they sent you to war. They sent you to war in a country where we were doing that. Where we were extracting resources,
I know.
Where we moved in, and we just just without care trampled all over everybody and fucking took their shit and left. Now,
with a bunch of 18-year-olds with automatic weapons, it was beautiful.
The crazy thing is, if aliens exist and they come down to this planet and do what we do, they're also going to be sending their 18-year-olds.
Yeah. And we'll be fucking murking the shit out of those 18-year-olds. We're owning this crap.
Yeah, they've never been to Appalachia, those fucking aliens.
Dude, there's literally this book series that I really like, where literally as ludicrous as it sounds, it's like aliens invade in the middle of World War II.
Oh shit.
Fucking these reptiles invade. But no, it's great how it explains it. So them, their species, and the two other species they conquered all progressed technologically and war at around the same rate, which is really slow and methodical, so they progress really slow. So they thought when they showed up, we were still going to be riding around on horses and fucking metal armor, stabbing each other with pokey things.
Right.
And we have airplanes and rifles.
Right.
And then basically it came down to our species is so anti authority and so rebellious and warlike that we were able already perfecting war better than they did. German panzer units are just, oh, this thing's bigger and stronger than me, maneuvering around it and getting fucking key hits on it and still destroying it. Just fucking ridiculous shit. Yeah. Or we set off nukes on our own territory. The aliens were what the fuck?
Right.
And then even better, when they took territory, they're oh, yeah, we conquered you. You're we're in charge of you now.
Yeah.
And then like fucking Jews are running around Poland stealing fucking nukes and rifles and shit from the aliens and fucking killing them and shit. And they're like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, right. You would. It would be
we're,
like a,
we're the warlike fucking hyper, like we're the pieces of shit.
If aliens came down and we had to fight them, we'd have to figure out, first of all, like, we're all humans now. Like, there's no difference anymore because of that.
Yeah.
We all better start praying to the same thing. Otherwise, we're going to get real fucking confused. And, and it better not be the aliens, God.
Oh, no. That was another thing in that book is, like, they didn't... It fucking complicated shit so much.
Oh, my God,
how, like,
it would.
Every little tribe of humans was, like, completely different.
Yeah.
Like, fucking... They were trying to deal with Nazis, communists,
yeah.
and fucking Democrats. They're trying to deal with, like, FDR. And then when they conquered our capitals, they're like, and we're still fighting. They're like, what the fuck are you people doing? Like fucking the Soviets are sitting there. They have like an imperial dictatorship. The aliens do. And they're like, oh, we worship our imperial overlords. And the Soviet ambassador is like, we fucking killed them all. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
You did what? He's like, yeah, we cut off all their fucking heads.
Yeah, human beings really, like, if you had to look at all the species on the planet, human beings are really like, the very not cooperative with one another as far as like group societies seem to go. It's just like family, and then like after, there's no larger unit either, really. It's all based
like
on the fact that
we're for a fight.
Yeah, it's always like
we're
family is the only thing that ultimately, when that shit breaks down, like family's the only thing you can go, okay, we got one another. But like, it's amazing that we have whole civilizations despite the fact that like we are so inclined to shoot one another constantly. It really is amazing.
Think about how easy it is to convince an 18-year-old to join the military. Like, there's a reason for that. There's a biological fucking reason for that, all right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. God bless, like, testosterone.
You just want to fuck shit up. And there's women that are like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's some chicks that I met in the Marine Corps that are fucking scary. Like, I would actually, like...
My favorite people.
Like, you... Like, if you punch me, it'll hurt. Like, I'll take you, but, like, it'll hurt. Like... There's fucking chicks like that. They're the same thing. They're just, I want to fuck shit up. It's
crazy.
It's weird.
It would be good to have, it's kind of funny to say this, but they're aliens. I don't give a flying fuck about them. It would be good to have a thing that we could just constantly go to war with that isn't people.
Yeah, it's like the Greeks, man. They all fucking killed each other.
Yes.
And the Persians showed up and they're like, we're best friends now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I know I killed, like, your entire family that one time, but, like, fuck these dudes.
You're going to get me onto a towel. It is fascinating how the Greeks went to war with one another, how different it is from today. It is amazing how, like, today there is no such thing as a declaration of war. You go in, fuck shit up, and leave. And that's because – I don't know why that is. I think global terrorism has a lot to do with that because you don't declare war on a terrorist group. How? Mm-hmm. How do you do that? But, yeah, in the old days, the Greeks would take, like, an army – and they would let you know, we're going to meet on this battle, because we don't want civilians getting hurt. We're going to meet on this battlefield here, and we're going to throw a spear into your territory. Come get us. That's how you know we're serious. And they throw the spear, and the other side goes, all right, throw the spear. Throw the spear, and then, all right, now we fight. That's, like, optimal. That would be an optimal way to wage war. Take your boys, bring them to a field, kill one another, come back
home. It's like
home.
Going outside the bar to fight.
But this is the thing. Most of the time... Like, this is what the mafia did. This is most of the time what most gangs do. They take shit outside. They don't do it inside where most of the civilians... Now, there's obviously gang shootings and shit all over the place. But, like, the vast majority of this is, like, we're going to settle this over there. Somewhere over there. It's only the government which says, no. We could do it right here. Let's do it right here. Who gives a shit?
In the bar.
It's the only one. Go. Cops are the only people who walk into a room and start shooting and tell you, I'm protecting you. They're the only
US
ones.
The U.S. government's the one taking all the top shelf fucking bottles and throwing them at the poor kids down at the fucking like riffraff areas.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Like, what did they do? The last time the mafia did a fucking public killing was on fucking Valentine's Day. And it was Italians and Irish killing one another, which is just like a pastime in this country. So
that's like baseball, man. Fucking
really people, really.
Oh God! Seriously, I think the world would be a lot better if we started organizing the way we kill one another more again. Back to it. Seriously, how could it be worse?
No, we can't. No, that evolved. We evolved past that fucking with the invention of firearms, and even before that, really, in some instances, no, because that gives government all its power. You can't have that.
Well, yeah, right. We need to eliminate the current state so that we can establish a new one by going back to the way the ancient Greeks used to go to war. That's what we need to do. Yeah. That's what we need to do. Happy, what day is today? Happy Wednesday, folks.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's weird today. I'm waiting for y'all's episode to fucking drop.
Did it not drop yet? All right. Well,
It probably dropped during
maybe we should just release both of these today.
Maybe. Double down.
You want to do a double feature?
Dude, we went some fucking dives on this one.
Do we need do we need a next week's episode? No, we got we have a really good one next week, right?
Yeah, we do.
We have a really good one. Okay, let's drop both of these today. Fuck it. All right. All right. Well, speaking of which, Jared, thank you so much. Actually, y'all should thank me for this one.
I got yelled at 8 o'clock this morning. We're doing a show today. I'm like, all right.
What was it? Yeah, Carr was like, we got to do a show soon. I was like, do it now, fags. Do it now. All right. Well, let's kick off. Jared, plugs for us. Plug all the things you got, except one of your co-hosts who I'm currently beefing with. Do not plug him.
All right, so I am Jared, one of three hosts at Biting the Bullet. You can find me at TheMongoose0861 on both Twitter and Instagram. Our podcast name is, like I said before, Biting the Bullet. You can find, I think, both of them at Biting Bullet Pod as well, Twitter and Instagram, and then Facebook, you can search us. The other host is Typo. He is at The Real Typo, and you don't really have to. His clout's kind of weak. Like, I don't know. It's between being sad for him because he has less followers than the podcast itself and just being like, you know, fuck him.
Don't be hating on that, bro.
But no, and then the last host is Luke, but I'm not going to throw out his handles because apparently Bird and Luke are fighting.
And we'll probably bleep that out, actually.
In fact, that name even disgusts me.
Yeah.
Actually. At Keep It Real Luke.
Nice.
Hey.
Nice.
Sorry, man. Got to hang out with the Mongoose.
All right, we'll settle the score at Childerberg then. we'll engage in battle and I'll throw the spear and we'll all right. We'll meet you.
Here's what we'll do:
the LNC parking lot.
go have a couple shots of whiskey right after. It'll work out, bud.
We'll like slow motion beat the shit out of one another.
It'll look more like rough sex, honestly.
Actually, how about we do this? Can we do this?
One of us went through and make sure there's no like large rocks in the area. Make sure it's very like you
safe.
Know.
Safe.
Hey, set some rules. Like gangs in New York. That shit.
What we'll do is we'll fight in slow motion and then we'll speed it up in post and it'll look like we're really duking it out. It'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
It'll look good. All right. Car camp it.
I'll bring olive oil.
Do you have any? Yeah. Well, you know I always pack the olive oil. Car Campit, do we have any plugs other than of course Childeberg, which we should plug every episode?
Childeberg.com. I don't think so. Okay. No plugs.
Come to Childeberg, everybody. Childeberg 23rd to the 26th, I believe it is. I hope so. If not, check the website.
Come watch me beat up an avian at Childeberg.
We're gonna get super sober and we're gonna have a very safe and sober time in the woods, and I'm not gonna bring pig's blood or pig organs or anything like that. Listen to Voluntary Vixens. I don't know when that episode comes out, but listen to Voluntary Vixens because I tore that shit up and I have a great Childeberg plan and I need more support.
You tore up the Voluntary Vixens.
No. I tore up Carr, to be honest.
Yeah.
let's be real.
Pretty accurate. Yeah. So everybody listen to Voluntary Vixens. We've got an episode with them coming out soon. I think we had them on like probably 4 months ago or something like that. Go check out childerberg.com. That's chill, D-E-R-B-U-B-U-R-G.com. And reserve your campsite if you're coming down. Until next week.